Mining and water take center stage at a Haines forum, and residents of Petersburg demand compensation for losses on a timber sale. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Daisha Eaton. Those stories and more up next. The Palmer Project, a potential hard rock underground mine, was the focus of a forum on water and mining attended by dozens of residents at the Alaska Native Brotherhood Hall in Haines on Wednesday. They were there largely because they hoped to learn more about how the project, still in the exploration phase, might affect water and salmon in the Chilkat and Klehini rivers if it's developed. But not all stakeholders believe the forum has the community's best interest in mind. It was Mining 101 in Haines on Wednesday evening where the ANB hall was packed, with people eager to learn more about how the nearby mineral exploration operation, Palmer Project, could affect water and salmon.
And why do we, as a company, do water quality sampling? One, we have to do it for assisting the permitting process and compliance.
That's Liz Cornejo, Vice President of Community and External Affairs for Canadian company Constantine Metal Resources Limited. Cornejo is also co-chair of the recently formed Chilkat Valley Mining Forum Committee, the group that organized the event.
The Palmer Project is still in the exploration stage. We are getting more advanced and we're starting to do more in-depth studies. And we're hopefully in the next few years working toward feasibility and that information that will help answer that question of, is it going to be a mine?
The prospect was discovered in 1969 by local prospector Merrill Palmer, its namesake. Constantine is leasing the claim and partnering with a Japanese company called Dowa, which is supplying 49% of the exploration funds. That partnership has been going on for several years. Exploration shows the sites located on steep mountainsides above a glacially fed river are rich in copper, zinc, barite, gold, and silver. The economy of the region is largely reliant on fishing and tourism, and many are concerned that a large mine could interfere with the existing economies. Meredith Pocart, executive director of Tokshinuk Watershed Council, helped organize the event and was one of the guests at the forum. She talked about copper's effect on fish if too much gets into the water from mining.
Fish are much more sensitive than humans are to copper, and it impacts a lot of their homing, migration, as well as their predator avoidance and their ability to navigate and find food.
Alan Nakanishi with DEC talked about the value of public comment in the permitting process.
When we go out to public notice on a permit, the local community may have fairly in-depth knowledge that wasn't apparent or available on the application.
Besides the mining company, Tokshinuk, and the DEC, the forum also included a representative from the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, who talked about their water testing programs. Two local stakeholder groups decided not to participate in the forum. One was the Chilkat Indian village of Klukwan.
We're a community that literally relies on the return of the salmon. All five species run through the Chilkat River. That's why our people, the Tlingits, survived and thrived over the past 1,000 or more years in this valley.
That's Tribal President Kimberly Strong, who says her community had participated in a forum held last fall, but decided against it this time around.
There was concern that if it's being chaired by the mining industry, we wanted our name off to make it clear that we were not part of the group at this point.
Elsa Sebastian, executive director of Lynn Canal Conservation, says her group also decided not to participate. She says the group was undermined by the fact that
two of the voting members on the forum hold a direct interest in the mine. And one of these members represents a Canadian company that is in Haines solely for their financial interest in the mine.
Those two members are the co-chair, Liz Cornejo, who works for Constantine, and a member of the Palmer family, Donald J.R. Churchill, a commercial fisherman who recently organized the Haines Fishermen's Alliance to advocate for salmon and its habitat, also stopped working with the forum.
The original intent was a good one. As things moved on, it was decidedly weighted to the mining side of that. I get why they pulled out. They didn't want to be attached to a group that was decidedly pro-mine.
Cornejo with Constantine says co-chairing the 10-member group that organized the forum is a lot of work, but she'd be happy to step aside if someone thinks her interest in the mining company is problematic and if someone else is elected to the position by other members of the group. But for now, Cornejo says they'd like feedback about the most recent forum so they can plan future events. Some residents of Petersburg are asking the Borough Assembly to pass a resolution seeking accounting for losses on U.S. Forest Service timber sales on Kupernov and Prince of Wales Islands. It was a discussion at a recent assembly meeting and may come up at a future meeting. Joe Vicknicki reports.
The two sales, Tonka on Kupernov and Big Thorn on Prince of Wales, were the subject of a review completed by U.S. Forest Service staff from the agency's Washington office in June of 2016. It was among a number of documents published last year by the group Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, or PEER. The Forest Service documents found millions of dollars of losses from the sales because timber companies did not cut lower-value hemlock trees, but focused on more valuable cedar and spruce. The documents also noted problems with appraising the timber and oversight of the contracts. Local resident David Beebe asked the Assembly to pass a resolution requesting the Department of Agriculture's Inspector General conduct a forensic audit of the sales.
We understand that there is a strong, well-established history of timber theft on the Tongass, and by all appearances, this could also be happening currently.
Both projects were so-called stewardship sales, meaning the proceeds from the sale of the timber were meant to stay on the Tongass and pay for other work in the sale area. In the case of Tonka, that work was replacement of failing culverts called red pipes under the forest roads, along with tree thinning. Big Thorn was meant to fund trail work, tree thinning, and fish habitat work. In both cases, the money from the sales was not meant to go into payments to communities under the Secure Rural Schools Act. That was a conclusion in an earlier version of the proposed resolution. However, another local resident, Becky Knight, told the Assembly the losses still impacted Petersburg.
If the Forest Service had appraised what they actually did on the ground, Tonka would have been worth $3 million instead of $1 million. And they probably would have spent the bulk of the extra $2 million on local Petersburg or at least Kupernov projects.
The Forest Service issued a statement. The agency also said it had come up with an action plan to address the review's findings. The proposed resolution expresses concern that timber sales that the agency is planning now may have similar losses if the problems are not corrected. It also asks the congressional delegation to secure funds for an audit of the sales. The proposed resolution was only a discussion item at meetings this month, but could be up for a vote in May. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
For KHNS News, I'm Daisha Eaton. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. Thanks for listening this evening.